Last thing I'll mention before we'll get into my message this morning is we've been talking about the family and husbands and wives the past couple of Sundays, and I got a call from the Biblical Counseling Center. We're so privileged to participate with them and partner with them, and was told, hey, we have a new booklet, Growing Your Marriage. Tim, is this the latest one, hot off the press? And so we have 75 copies on the back counter. So last Sunday I gave you something, actually it was from the Counseling Center, I believe, to take home. Here's another booklet. There's a lot more information here. And so if you're looking for some good input regarding your marriage, last week I talked to men. Man, how many of you are looking for some good input on your marriage? Guys, your hand's not up? It certainly should be up. Boy. Maybe I'll hang out to dry there. So find that on your way out. An 11-year-old boy was asked to write an essay on what he liked best about his home. All right, 11 years old, what do you like best about your home? And he had this to say. He said, my mother keeps a cookie jar in the kitchen and we can help ourselves, except we can't if it's too close to mealtime. Only dad can anytime. But when he comes home from the office, he helps himself. No matter if it is just before we eat, he always slaps my mother on the behind. And how many of us had our dads would do that? This may be very politically incorrect, but yeah. I think in this context, it's great. Slaps her on the behind. I better. All right, let's wrap up and go home. Where was I? Slaps my mother on the behind and brags about how great she is and how she can cook. Then she turns around and they hug. And the way they do it, you'd think they just got married or something. It makes me feel good. This is what I like best about my home. And so this little 11-year-old, this essay exudes just warmth and security and good feelings about his home, doesn't it? We pick up on that. The warmth, the joy. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. That's the theme song. Some of you recognize it. Others may be thinking, "What in the world is that?" But to what was one of my favorite TV shows growing up. Anybody recognize it? Anita, what was it? The Waltons. How many of us watched The Waltons growing up? I believe the setting was the Virginia or West Virginia. And there's mom and dad, grandpa, and I think some six kids, right? The Waltons. And why did I like The Waltons? Now, I'm going back a long time, but I believe it was because I saw a family where there was love and warmth and care. They had their problems, yeah, so you're going to have to develop some sort of theme or idea in the show, but they always seemed to work it out in the end, right? Television, maybe at its best, always worked it out at the end. And then the show would end. How would it end? It would be nighttime. Lights would be turned out in the house. And everybody would start saying what? Good night. You've seen the show. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Beth. Good night, Grandpa. Good night, Mom. Yeah. I've got here in my notes, I cried a number of times watching that show. That tells you a lot about me. And I think I suffered ridicule from my brothers and maybe even my dad. He's like, we're crying during a show like that. And so I would have been scarred for life. But sadly, many if not most homes aren't anything like the Waltons. Having a sense of warmth and security, problems being worked out. Those things are a far cry from where many of our homes are today. Am I not correct? I could give you statistics concerning the breakdown of the family. I don't think I have to give you statistics. I think it's unnecessary because we're all bearing witness to that, are we not? And some of us are actually unwanting participants in it. And so there's a tremendous need today for God's instructions on the family. Those instructions to be heralded, those instructions to be heard, those instructions to be heeded. And so that's where we find ourselves. We're looking at God's instructions on the home. So open your Bibles to Ephesians 6. I love to say open your Bibles because you're not interested in what I have to say, but in what God has to say. And you have notes. And so we're looking at harmony in the home, instructions for children. So you got your Bible open, your notes out, a pen. You're sitting on the edge of your seat. And as always, we start out talking about the context. Where are we at in Ephesians? Paul is calling those in Ephesus in chapter 5 to be light in a dark world. He wants you to be light. And some of the terms he uses are walk in wisdom, make the most of your time, understand what the will of God is. Again, I have these puzzle pieces in my pocket. Actually, I have three of them. I don't know how I ended up with three of them, but the idea of understand what the will of God is what? To put the pieces together, all right, so that you're the light of the world. And Paul says all of that comes about by being filled with God's Spirit. Being filled with God's Spirit is God's will and is how one determines God's will. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to lead the child of God into the will of God. And so we want to be filled with God's Spirit. His leading, His directing our life so that we're the light of the world. And then Paul goes on to say, and these are going to be some of the results. Well, what are the results of being Spirit-filled? Oh, I love to say that the results of being Spirit-filled. It's so important for us to be comfortable with that idea of being led by the Spirit. Paul says the results are going to be, verse 19, there's going to be worship, there's going to be joyfulness, worship. Verse 20, there's going to be thankfulness. And then verse 21, there's going to be a lowliness. Notice chapter 5, verse 21. Paul says, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So there's going to be a submitting of ourselves to one another. If we're full of the Spirit, we're going to look not only to our own interests, but also to the interest of others. And so all of that, as I quickly have rehearsed it, brings us to this major section in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22, all the way through chapter 6 and verse 9. And in that section, Paul gets very practical and talks about what this being subject to one another is going to look like. First of all, in marriage. And we've looked at that And then he goes on to talk about what it looks like in the home between parents and children. And then he talks about really in the home as far as slaves and masters. And so today we're looking at God's instructions for children. Now, the most of us are adults. Although here in a little bit I'm going to talk about are we still children or not. We have to grapple with that idea. Once a child, always a child, I believe. All right. So it would be easy almost to pass over this section, wouldn't it? I mean, just to say, hey, look, well, most of us are adults, let's get on past this. But it is important for us to look at this passage. First of all, because we have so many young adults here, those we would consider children. And we just need to understand that there's usually, as we look at a passage, so much more in the passage, is there not? I hope you get that from listening to my preaching. It's kind of like it was just a couple of verses and he went on and on about all that's in that passage. So let's read our verses for today. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And then he turns to fathers and parents. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And actually, verse 4 will be my message next week as I'll speak to parents. But today, God's instructions for children, verses 1 through 3. And my outline is very simple. This passage breaks down nicely. First of all, who is being commanded? Children. What is a child? Second of all, what is being commanded? And obedience and honor are being commanded. So we need to understand those ideas. And then finally, why is it being commanded? And we're going to talk in terms of the motivation that it will go well with you. And so our first point, who is being commanded? Children, obey your parents. Children, the term technon. How many of you think you're a child? Raise your hand. How many would say, I'm a child? Maybe half of us. Actually, the emphasis on the term technon is not so much on age as it is on relationship. It actually speaks of offspring. Now, there is a clear sense in which we never, I'm underlining never, stop being a child. As I said earlier, once a child, always a child. So how many of you think you're a child? Let me ask the question again. Every hand should go up. There's a certain sense in which once a child, always a child. Now, parents readily think this way, don't they? Yep, Tony, you may look at your girls, they're teenagers, and you think, oh, you're always going to be a child. You're going to always be my little girl. Right? Dads tend to think that way. There was a mom who wrote a letter to a college president concerned about her son going off to college. She said, "Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college and soon he'll be leaving me. I'm writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to be sure that his roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language, tells off-color jokes, smokes, drinks, or chases after girls. I hope you understand why I'm appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home except for his 3 years in the Marine Corps." Yeah. Once a child, always a child. And that is biblically true. In Matthew 15, we find Jesus rebuking the religious leaders because their traditions were negating the clear teaching of God's Word. And in that context, he specifically mentions their traditions that negated their honoring their parents and caring for their parents. And so in that context, Jesus' teaching is clear. Even as adults, the teaching of God's Word is that children are to honor and care for their parents. Once a child, always a child. In fact, as I was working with these ideas, it's wonderful with our Lord as we think of Him on the cross. He's going to die shortly. And what does He do? He looks out and sees His mother. And He addresses His concern for the care of His mother. Isn't that amazing? What an example. He said, "Woman, behold your son," looking at John. And then He says to John, "Behold your mother." Wow. So in one sense, children never stop being children. They're responsible to honor and care for their parents. But in a different sense, that there's a time when a child becomes an adult and is responsible for making decisions on their own, out from under their parents' authority. It's right around 13 years old. No, let's walk that back a little bit. In our society, though, we do have transition points, don't we, from being a child to being an adult. 16, you get to drive. 18, you can vote, you can join the military. In the Bible, marriage is a transition from being a child to an adult. Marriage. And in fact, in Genesis 2, the instructions are, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so with marriage, a new family unit is formed, and the couple comes out from under their parents' authority and is to be making decisions on their own. All right, there's that transition from being a child to being an adult and establishing this new family unit, making decisions on their own. New authority structure, right? Right? Now, it's interesting in Numbers 14, we're just grappling with this idea of when does one become an adult and should be making their own decisions on their own. In Numbers 14, maybe you're familiar with the passage. Previous to this, the spies have gone into the promised land. They've come back and they've given a bad report. And they say, there's no way we can go in and conquer the land. And so God disciplines his people. And he says, for the next 40 years, every adult under or over the age of 20 is going to die in the wilderness. And so 20 years old and older is specifically singled out. And so I'm going to suggest that perhaps we should see 20 as the age when one is responsible for making decisions on their own. All right, it's just something to begin the discussion with. At what age are they their own authority in a sense and to be making decisions on their own? Clearly, when they get married, form this new family unit. Well, what other ideas can we put into that? Who is a child? That's the question we're asking. I like what C. Philip Green, he summarizes it this way. He says, if you're a child still living at home, that means obey your parents. If you're an adult child who has left home, that means respect or honor them. And if you're an adult child whose parents can no longer care for themselves, that means care for them. I think he gives us a good summary. When is a child a child? What are the changing faces, the changing dynamics? All right, let's go to our second question. Our second question, who is being commanded? Children, or what is being commanded? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey is the Greek term hupokouo. Hupo is under, kouo to hear or to listen. And so the idea of the word is to put oneself under another's voice, to listen to them, to obey. And Paul gives us two modifying ideas, doesn't he, as far as obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord, because of the Lord. New Living Translation reads, because you belong to the Lord. Obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. In a sense, in submitting to Him, you're submitting to them, or will submit to them, or will obey them. And then Paul adds, he says, for this is right. Children obeying their parents, Paul says, is right. I think that term really is pregnant with meaning. It is right because God commands it, so it's right. It is right because it is God's design for the home. It is right because it works and brings God glory and is for our good. It is right because it pleases God when we trust and obey Him, obeying in this area, doing what's right. It is right. That's a pregnant term. Colossians 3:20, parallel passage, Paul says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This pleases Him. It's right. How many of your children like Legos? How many of you here, if you're a child, Curtis, do you like Legos? Yes, sir. You still play with Legos? Do you? Yeah, yeah. Others? Maybe there's some adults. John, you play with Legos? Are your children do? They have? Yeah, kids love Legos. And it was a year ago, Diana and I went down to Florida. It was just after Christmas. We had a new granddaughter born. And we spent the big bucks. Legos are expensive. They are. And we bought the Lego fire station. I think I spent right around $100 or maybe $90. That's a pretty good spend, isn't it, on something like that? Went down to Florida, and my grandson Levi loves Legos. And so here we are. This was from a year ago. And you see us there. We're building Legos. We're building that fire station. And what are we doing? We're looking at the instructions. And then it's all said and done. And what do we see? Now, he's sitting on the table. That may not be the best. We may have to talk with his parents about that. But he's sitting on the dinner table, so proud of what he had accomplished. But my point is, we followed instructions and it worked. It all turned out, I don't remember us having a lot of extra pieces or any extra pieces that should have been a part of this thing. And so it is, when we follow God's instructions, it's right. It works. It's His design. And so it results in His glory and our good. So obey your parents. It's right. It works. And the second command we're given is in verse 2. What is being commanded? Honor your father and mother. First of all, obey them. And then second of all, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And so the first commandment is what? Verse 1. Obey your parents. Probably looking at our actions. Obey your parents. And then in verse 2, this second command, honor, is probably focused on the attitude or the heart. So what is being addressed is not only right actions, but also right attitude. If we're going to obey our parents as God would have us obey our parents, it has to be done with right actions and right heart. Boy, you may be here and you're 35 and not thinking of yourself as in terms of being a child, but and we're going to look at what it means to be a good parent next week. But if you're a good parent, you're paying attention, you realize, look, I've got to capture somehow my child's heart. Diane and I, it was central to our parenting. How do we capture the heart? Because I'll tell you what, when my boy is Levi's age and he's 4 years old, I can get him to do what I want. I can make him obey. But the issue becomes when they get older. Amen? Capturing their heart. So critical. And Paul is going to address that. In fact, in verse 4, I'm quoting it from memory, but he says, fathers, don't anger your children. Don't exasperate your children and your parenting. Frustrate them so that they throw it all overboard. Oh, we'll look at that in detail. John MacArthur, writing about this, says, honor is the attitude behind the act. The act is obedience, and honor is the attitude. Remember that an act without the proper attitude is hypocrisy. If you do what your parents tell you to do, but you hate it and are unwilling and nasty about it, then you're a hypocrite. If you do what your parents tell you to do, but you're bitter, fearful, reluctant, and foolish, well, that's not the right spirit. God is after the attitude much more than He's after the act. Because if the attitude is right, the act will follow. But a right act with a wrong attitude is nothing but hypocrisy. And so to honor your parents, the attitude. So let's talk about what is honor? What is honor? What does it mean to honor mom and dad? Wow. Yesterday afternoon, I went out to our pond and I grabbed this big rock. And there goes a bug. I got him. He's heading under the rock. And I actually almost injured my back. I mean, that thing is heavy. But to demonstrate just how heavy it is, I need a volunteer to come up here and lift this. Curtis, you think you can lift it? All right, come on. Now do we need him to sign a release clause? No problem with that, all right? Luan, are you okay with him lifting that rock? All right. No. Yeah, how do you lift? You're young. It probably doesn't matter. You can lift any way you want, but I know that as an old man, I'm not supposed to lift like this, right? Am I not right? How many of you are older? Boy, you lift like that, you're gonna have back problems. So how are you going to lift it? You're going to have back problems. All right, well, you go. Luana, you want to coach him here? All right, try to lift it. Dude, can you throw it into the middle of the sanctuary? All right, thank you very much. Well, we need to applaud our volunteers, or we'll start not getting any volunteers, right? That's honor. Not applauding our volunteers. But what you just saw demonstrated, that is honor. Honor means to treat as weighty or heavy. And that's what it means to honor our parents. We treat them as if they're weighty, they're heavy, they're important. That's the idea. Give them some weight. The role is so important. So how do we honor our parents? Well, what kind of things can we do? If I'm going to honor my parents, and I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter now as we're addressing this idea of honor. We see honor something we're to give our parents even into old age. And so what does it look like? We should all be asking the question, what does it mean to honor my parents? Well, I would suggest, number one, listening to them. Listening to them. Two, respecting their age and wisdom, giving them some weight. They've been around the track a few times. They may have something worthwhile to pay attention to. How do we honor our parents? I'm going to suggest we celebrate them. Mother's Day and Father's Day are give-me's, and they should be taken advantage of. Birthdays. You know where my wife is this morning? She's in Atlanta celebrating her mother's 97th birthday. Now, I'm here. Actually, I got a phone call from a relative who said, why aren't you in Atlanta with her? You know, put the screws on me, put the guilt trip on me. Why aren't you in Atlanta with them? But celebrating, caring for them and their needs as they age. In fact, that was Christ's emphasis in Matthew 15. That was Christ's emphasis as he's on the cross looking at his mother. So caring for them, making time for them. I'll never probably get the song Cats in the Cradle out of my mind, huh? Oh, what a song, Cats in the Cradle. Yeah. And then speaking well of them. It's a way to honor our parents. So some of us here had it pretty rough in our upbringing, right? And it would be easy for us to speak ill of our parents, but I would caution you, do not go there. And if there's hurt and pain there, then perhaps it's something that has to be dealt with, and those things dealt with parents. Who is being commanded? Curtis, I'm going to ask you, who's being commanded here? How does verse 1 begin? Children, right? What is being commanded? What is being commanded? Obedience and honor. And so then the next question is, well, why is it being commanded? Do you see how our passage just kind of falls open? Isn't it great? And Paul says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Why honor and obey our parents? So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So that it may be well with you. Speaks to the quality of life. So that you may live long on the earth. Speaks to the quantity of life and its length. And so honor your parents. Well, why is Paul saying that? Because it's just going to go good for you. If you honor your parents, it will go well for you. And so we need to think in terms of, well, how? How will it go well for me? But let me suggest a couple of big ideas, and there's a lot that you can fill in as you think about why obey my parents and honor them so that it will go well with me. But one reason to honor our parents and it goes well with us is God honors those who honor Him. God honors those who honor Him by honoring their parents. Big idea in Scripture. Had a conversation just this week talking about big ideas in Scripture. And one of them is the idea of humility. And the Bible teaches that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. So God delights in humility. God delights when we live according to His command, His design. It is right. So that's why. Why is it going to go well? Anybody want God on their side? I do. He's the major player, right? I want to honor my parents because God delights in my humbling myself and honoring them. Is this idea of honoring and obeying our parents a big idea in the Bible? Well, let me ask you a question. How many commandments are there? Ten. And so one of the ten is given over to the idea of obeying and honoring our parents. Doesn't that tell us the importance of it? And in fact, the first four have to do with our relationship with God, and the last six have to do with our relationship on a horizontal level with others. And the first one having to do with others addresses our parents, honoring our parents. I'm going to read Deuteronomy. I'm going to read a passage here that basically says if a child doesn't honor his parents, they're to be stoned. Wow, Deuteronomy 21. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise them, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. And they shall say to the elders of this city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey as he is a glutton and a drunkard. And then verse 21. All the men of his city shall stone him to death, so you shall remove the evil from you. Wow. Is this major stuff or what? In that Old Testament context, in Israel, the punishment for disobeying and dishonoring parents was death. Wow. There's probably a lot that would have to be grappled with that passage, but it certainly comes across clearly that honoring and obeying one's parents was important in Israel. Yep. So important. Let me say, I know of no passage where it says that this was carried out. But still, the importance of honoring our parents and God honoring us. A second way it goes well for children who obey and honor their parents is that parents protect their children. Parents, as you lay down structure in your home, would you say that you do it to protect your children? Melissa, I'm going to look at you. Would you say, boy, we have different rules and things in our home. I'm doing it to protect and help my children. How many parents would say, yes, that's us? Yeah. Now, that's me. And indeed, a child that lives under its parents' authority is protected from so much. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, really is written to encourage sons to obey their parents. And in chapter 6, we read this, "My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you." Isn't that an interesting statement? That our parents' instructions even protect us in our sleep, because we're living right and don't have to fear things. "And when you awake, they will talk to you. Mom and Dad may not be there, but do you still hear their voice at times?" Oh, they're talking to you, right? Boy, they push these truths into your life. And then verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. And so parents protect their kids. Their commandments are like a lamp. Their teaching is like a light that leads to life. Light that leads to life. That's why it's so important to obey parents, to honor them. Let me end with a story. Comes out of Reader's Digest a number of years ago. It was entitled From the Jaws of Death. And it had to do with an alligator and a small 2-acre pond in Florida. Some cousins were swimming, Michael, Kelly, and Jill, three of them swimming in this small pond. Kelly decides, I'm out of here. I'm going back to the shore. And all of a sudden, there's this large alligator swimming in the pond, swimming towards Michael and Jill. 400 pounds, 11 feet long. On beeline for these two young kids. And so people on the shore see what's going on. They see this alligator coming towards these kids, and they're shouting and hollering, trying to scare the animal perhaps or get the attention of the kids. And Jill sees all of this, and so she gets out of the pond, but Michael's oblivious to it. He's snorkeling. He's got a mask on. He's got flippers on his feet. And so this alligator comes on up to this young boy, and boom, his head's in the jaws of the alligator. And as you can imagine, this young boy is just fighting to get free, and he does. He's got a 6-inch gash on his head, and the mask that he had on was pulled away. And what do you think he did? He swam like crazy for the shore, right? I mean, what is a kid going to do? And so he's swimming like crazy to the shore, and the alligator is in pursuit of him. Mom hears what's going on, runs down to the pond on the dock, and she's looking at her son, Michael, swimming towards her with an alligator in pursuit. And she reaches out as he's right there at the dock, grabs his hand, and at the same time, the alligator grabs the boy at his feet. And there is this tug-of-war taking place, true story, between a 100-pound mom and a 400-pound alligator. Who do you think won? Mom! Mom won! And evidently the flipper came off with the boy, and they said the alligator went back into the pond with a disappointed look on his face. And he probably short life. That alligator, I'm sure, was done. Children, wherever you put yourself under that title, children, there are all kinds of alligators parents protect us from, are there not? All kinds of alligators that parents protect us from. Bad people. Jay, you had mentioned in your testimony, you went away from the things of the Lord when you got involved with the wrong people. And parents speak into the lives of our children. Diane and I, here you're getting all Diane and I in our parenting, but one of the things we were very careful about was who our kids hung out with. Yep. So critical. And parents protect their kids from bad people, bad environments, bad influences, bad decisions. Things that will destroy their lives. And as a parent and as adult, we all know this. Kids can make decisions when they're just teenagers that are going to determine the whole course and trajectory of their lives. And it saddens us, does it not, when we see kids at an early age making decisions that really put them way over here, so far from the will of God. Parents protect us from those things. Right? As a parent, that's your job. And as a child, it's your job to hear your parents and to heed your parents as they protect you from the bad. And I would be remiss to say, well, that's all they do. They keep you away from the bad stuff. But they direct you, hopefully, as godly parents, into the ways and the Word of God, the ways of life. Amen? I'm going to pray. We're going to be dismissed, and I hope you walk out of here with a lot of good material for table discussion right at home. Tim and Aaron, you got how many kids? Four? Yeah, I hope it, but when you go home, here I'm singling people out. Don't single me out. But I hope that's true of all of us, that we'd go home and say, you know, this is a good opportunity to talk with my kids about obedience. And maybe share out of your own life the Word of God, and then out of your own life ways you made good decisions and bad decisions, where mom and dad were involved in it, right? If you're a single parent, where they were involved, you were involved in it, right? Oh, we're at a great place in the book of Ephesians. It's addressing where our culture is at and the struggles in our culture in the area of marriage and family. And boy, we're getting instruction from God's Word. We have outside resources that are helping us in all of this. And Paul would say, oh, don't forget, this all started with me talking about being the light of the world. Because if you do it right, your light will shine. And people will look on and they'll say, boy, those Christians got something. Father, we give you praise. We believe we've got something. In the Lord Jesus, we have life. Oh, may we be thrilled with the life that's found in Jesus Christ. And Father, we know in the world there's all kinds of voices out there telling us to go this way, this is the way, walk in it. But oh, for the voice of your Spirit in our lives, the voice of your Word in our lives that says, this is the path, walk in it. This is where life is found. This is how you do marriage. This is how you do family. Oh, Father, so practical. And so, Father, may we leave here encouraged that there's such good instruction from your Word. And as your Spirit, as He stirs our minds and our hearts, if there's things we need to go and deal with, then maybe we'd be quick to do it. And it's in Jesus' name. Oh, and fathers, we're talking about families. I pray for families. I'd probably be remiss not to cry out to you for all the families represented here. I thank you for Charleston Bible Church and the fact that we have so many families, young parents and children. We're a blessed church. And then grandparents. Father, we ask to your glory and our good, for your further blessing upon the families represented here. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.